Masechet Ta'anit, Daf 19. We begin at 18b on the bottom. We're beginning the third chapter. And just like in the second chapter, we're going to learn all of the Mishnayot right up front. It's a pretty short chapter, so I guess for that reason, it's not worth breaking it up into just really tiny little bits. So we see the entire Mishnah at once, which is good because we get to see the whole concept. And the concept of this chapter is emergencies on which one has to fast and or cry out or and blow shofar. While when it doesn't rain for a while, then we have increasingly more and more stringent fasts. That's the normal procedure. But in the following long list, these are emergencies that require going straight to the most stringent type of fast immediately. So here we go. Mishnah. Seder taniyot elu ha'amur berivi'ari shona. Everything that we've been talking about in the previous chapter, in chapter one, was talking about when it didn't yet rain at the beginning in the first rainfall. The Gemara is going to wonder about this word, revi'ah. It means rainfall. It could mean the very first time it rains or the first set of rains, the one in Cheshvan in the beginning of Kislev. And we'll conclude that that is the meaning here, but just have it in mind when we get to the Gemara. So all that, when it doesn't rain in the first few weeks of the season, then in the beginning, we are concerned, but it's not an emergency yet, because as long as it rains within the next month or two, we can still have an okay crop. Aval, semachim sheshanu matrein alehen miyad. But if it's rained and things started to grow, and all of a sudden the vegetation changes and it was looking healthy and now it doesn't look healthy, then that's an emergency. That's even more threatening than the rains being delayed. And that way we start the top level fast immediately. Similarly, if it started raining, it rained a couple of times and then there was no rain for 40 days. That's even worse than if it didn't start raining at all, because then things start growing, but they don't get rain, so they can't finish growing, and then the whole process is thwarted. And those cases also matri'in, because that is a plague of drought. We'll define the term drought. The word matri'in literally means tiru'ah, we blow the shofar. And here it's suggesting that you fast and pray and blow shofar in accord with the most stringent level, like the last seven that we have described before. This word matzrin is going to occur a few times, and each time it occurs, it doesn't necessarily have the same meaning here, but here it's clear it means this is more important than just a regular half-day fast. This is you got to do fasting plus tiru'ah. Plus blowing shofar. Yardu lasmachin, aval lo yardu la'ilan. La'ilan velo lasmachin. Lazeh velazeh, aval lo lebarot shechin velame'arot. Matrin alehen miyad. Also, if it did rain, but only a little bit, only enough of the vegetation, or enough for the vegetation, but not enough for the trees. Enough for the trees, or not enough for the vegetation. It could go either way, depending on the type of rain. The Gemara will discuss if it's a light rain, it's a heavy rain, or maybe it got enough rain for both the vegetables and the trees, but not enough to fill up all the cisterns and ditches and caves that we use that we're going to draw water from for the entire season and all the way into the summer. That needs a lot of rain to fill those up. If you see at some point that there's not enough rain for all these purposes, we immediately jump in and go to top level fasting with tiru'ah. V'chein oir shelo yardu aleha geshamim, tichtiv im tarti el oir echat, ve'al oir echad, achat lo amtir chelka, Achad achat timmater. Pasuk in Amos, we've seen already that sometimes it'll happen that rain will fall on one city, but not another. So in that case, where some cities have and some don't, otaha id mit anau mit ra'at, the city that has no rain will go to the top level of fasting with blowing shofar. V'chol sevivoteha mit anot v'lo matri'ot. But the surrounding cities that have rain, they should also fast, but not the top level. They fast, but without blowing shofar. Why would they do that? Well, there's two possible reasons. Number one is that if there's one city that doesn't have rain and doesn't have food, then they're going to have to rely on the cities that do have rain and do have food. And they're going to come over there and buy. And that's going to cause the prices to go up. So even if you have rain in your city, you're still going to have to share. And there could be scarcity or high prices. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that we care for each other. And if there's another city nearby that's suffering, we suffer along with them, right? As we saw before, that if the community is suffering and you just go and have a party, then you're not being sensitive. So too, on a communal level, one city should be sensitive to the needs of the other. They don't have to fast the top level because it's not affecting them directly, but it can be one level beneath. Now, regarding one level beneath, what is that one level beneath? According to Tanakh Kamma, it means fasting, but not shofar. Rabbi Akiva omer, matriot velo mitanot. Rabbi Akiva says, no, they should blow shofar, but not fast. It's enough to blow shofar, and you don't have to go through a whole day of fasting. Okay, so you see here, the word matriot means only shofar, because it says explicitly, and but they're not fasting. So they'll have a prayer session and blow shofar for them, but no fasting. V'chen ir sheyesh ba David o mapolet, otah ir mitana mitra'at, v'chol sibotah mitanot v'lo matriot. Similarly, not only if it rains in one place and not another, also if there's pestilence, some kind of plague in one city, or buildings are collapsing in one particular city, maybe there's a local earthquake or something, and it only affects that city, then that city will go to the top level type of fast with shofar, but the surrounding cities will be less. And again, the same two reasons apply, because maybe it'll spread. Maybe if this plague started in one place, it might go to the next city, next city after. So they should be concerned, and also out of camaraderie. So, but they don't have to blow shofar. And again, here to be Akiva Omer Matriot Lomit Anot. The question is, what do you call the level below, right? What, how much below, and what is considered like the main thing that you can do without the other? And the Talmud Yerushalmi explains it, comparing it to Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar, but we don't fast. On Yom Kippur, we fast, but don't blow shofar. So which one should we compare this to, Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur? Either way, it's some level below the target of the main city. Ezehu David. Now, you mentioned here a plague. What is the official meaning of a plague? Just because one or two people get sick from some disease doesn't make it a plague. So what's the threshold at which you would call it a pandemic? We could compare it to the coronavirus pandemic. So let's see. Ir hamosi a hamesh me'ot ragli, v'yasu mimena shelosha metim b'shelosha yamim ze achar ze, hare ze deber, pachot mikan en ze deber. So the minimum threshold that you'd say, we are in a state of plague, and you would put in the protocols and start doing these fasts, is if you have a city that is can produce 500 soldiers. So how big is a city that has 500 men of age that they would fight? So that means the whole population, let's say for every, I'm just making an estimate, for every soldier, maybe he has his wife, his children, his parents, his grandparents. Let's say there's 10 other people. So maybe it'll be a city of around 5,000 people. And out of that, three people die each day for 3 days in a row. So if you have three people die in one day, but the next day everyone's okay, that's not called a plague. That's just, I don't know, a bunch of people got sick for some reason. But when there's a repetitive pattern, three times three, then you say that's already a plague. Okay, if you do a little bit of a calculation, and if this would extend for a whole year, it doesn't have to, even if it's just 3 days, it's called a plague. If it would extend for a whole year, my calculation, that would wipe out about 20% of the population. So a year of coronavirus has not, thankfully, been that terrible to wipe out 20%. So I think, according to this definition, coronavirus would not officially rise to the level of being a David, according to the Mishnah's definition. But we do remember that back then they didn't have the medical attention and precautions that we have now. Okay, so see, you know, plague back then was pretty devastating, but maybe it didn't last as long. Pachot mikan en zedev, less than that, it's a sickness, but not a plague. Al elu matri'in bechol makom. For the following, we make a shofar blasting, meaning high-level fasting with shofar everywhere, even if it only attacks one local place. Al hashidafon, blight is a disease of the plants. Even if it's only in one area, you know it's going to spread. So everybody goes to high level alert. Also for mildew, locusts, caterpillars, all that will attack the plants. Dangerous animals that are around. No matter where you are, even if it's the next town over, everyone starts fasting. Or sword by an enemy. All these, everyone has to do matri'in, which at least sounds like blowing shofar and tefillah, and maybe even fasting, because this is something that can move from one place to the other. So we all have to be on high alert. Question?
I'm just curious, Rabbi, is this something that we still do today? Like, in other words, if there's something devastating, do we follow these protocols or no longer?
Right. So we talked about this a little once. Fasting nowadays is not as common as it was back then. We mentioned that some people do it here and there for a yahrzeit but it's now much more rare. When coronavirus started, there was a group of rabbis that in Israel that said, "Oh, we should make a national fast day," but it was not done. Most people said, "No, don't fast. It's going to only lower your immune system. So better to stay healthy." It's not nowadays a popular expression, but we do get together in prayer and Tehillim readings, other things. But yeah, you're right. We don't do this much nowadays. All right, Maaseh she'yadu zekenim Yerushalayim la'adehem v'gazru ta'anit al she'nir'a kimlo pi tanur shidafon be'ashkelon. And there's a story that is reflecting the law that we just said, that one time some of the elders went from Jerusalem to their cities, in different cities, and they made a ta'anit because in Ashkelon, in one place in southwest of Israel, there was just an oven full amount of grain that got this blight, this disease. So just a little patch of grain, enough to fill one oven, was diseased. And yet the rabbis got together and they said, national fast day, because that it can spread easily. And another time, wolves came and ate two children on the other side of the Jordan. And so they made a national fast. Because who knows where these wolves will go next? Horrible story. Rabbi says, no, don't worry. They didn't actually eat them, but wolves were seen, which means even for a lower threat of just seeing wolves, the threat is there and everyone will fast. Elu matri'in b'shabbat. For the following, these are so dangerous, like there's an immediate danger that you have to do matri'in. We'll see what that means, even on Shabbat. For what? If an enemy troop surrounded a city, or there's a river that's overflowing, or a ship that's being tossed at sea. So this is an immediate danger. There's no time to wait. So we have to do something immediately. So matrin sounds like you'd blow shofar. The Gemara a while ago said, wait, you never blow shofar on Shabbat. That's impossible, right? It's not allowed. So therefore here, it could mean fasting, but also we don't really fast on Shabbat. So it could just mean crying out in prayer. That seems to make sense in the context. And the point is that even though on Shabbat, we don't usually make requests, right? We skip the whole middle of the Amidah. Shabbat is not about requesting and wanting. We just are happy with what we have. That's generally true. But when there's an emergency, then we pray and cry out. Say tachanun and things like that. Anenu Hashem, anenu. Rabbi Yosef omer le'ezra v'lo l'sakar. Rabbi Yosef says, no, on Shabbat, you still don't pray. When it says here, matzri'in, we cry out, it means we cry out for help. You can call 911, call the fire department, and you get everybody together to help out. But even in this emergency situation, you don't cry out to Hashem, because there's just no praying on Shabbat, even for this. quite amazing. And she says, you don't know for sure you're going to get answered, and then you're going to be praying for naught and on Shabbat. And so this is not proper. Shimon HaTimni omed af al hadebed velo hadu lo chachamim. Shimon HaTimni says, even for a plague, you would cry out on Shabbat, but the sages did not agree to him. Perhaps because a plague, even though it's very dangerous and deadly, it's not as immediate in the danger as the other items here. So you can wait till tomorrow and pray for the plague. I'll call, Mishnah continues, I'll call Sarah Shelo Tavo al Sibur Masrin Alehen, on any trouble that hopefully will not befall the community. It means that, but if it does befall the community, then we also do top level fasting with shofar chutz merov geshamim, except for too much rain. Right? We don't ask Hashem to stop the rain when there's too much. Even though too much is also not good, but it's an overabundance of blessing, but we don't fast to stop it. Ma'aseh. And now another story. Shamru lo lechoni ha-me'agel. Famous story about Choni. The name Choni is short for Yochanan. It's like saying Johnny. Ha-me'agel, the circle drawer. Hamit hitpalel she'edu geshamim. One time there was no rain, so they went to Choni, who was a very righteous person. He lived probably like in the second century BCE. And they asked him to pray for rain. Choni was so confident that the second he prays for rain, it will come, that he gave them a warning. And he said, okay, go take the ovens that you have and bring them inside. Ovens were made out of clay. And ovens for Pesach, this was like short-term use. They would make a new oven that would be kosher for Passover. So they just made them. I guess this was a few weeks, days before Pesach. And so they were still wet, not totally dried out yet. If it rained on them, these ovens would ruin. So he said, bring the ovens inside because the rain is about to come. So that's how confident he was. Hitpalel velo yardu geshamim. Yet when he prayed, the rain did not fall. So what did he do? Me'asa ag uga ve'amad betocha. He drew a circle. He didn't make a cookie. A cake. He drew a circle around himself and stood in the middle of the circle. Ve'amad lefanev ribono she'olam banecha samu penehem alai. Shani keben bayit lefanecha. He says, master of the universe, your children, B'nai Yisrael, they have put their faith in me. Turn to me. Because I am like a member of the household. I come before you all the time. Like a prince can come and see the king anytime. So too am I intimate with you, Hashem. Nishba'ani b'shimcha gadol sheni zaz mikan ad sheterachem al banecha. And I promise I will not move from this circle until you have mercy on your children. Okay, an amazing thing. What's the significance of the circle? We know this, and that back then, someone standing in a circle was considered on trial, on judgment. And we actually have a story about this related to Hanukkah, that Antiochus, the evil Antiochus IV, went and was at the gates of Alexandria about to take over Alexandria and expand his empire to be a huge empire. And Rome heard about this, and Rome was very powerful and eventually knew that they were going to take over the East, and they wanted not one big Greek empire, but two smaller ones. So Rome sent an envoy to Antiochus at the gates and told Antiochus, we don't want you to take over Alexandria, go back to Syria. And he said, well, why should I? I'll think about it. And then the messenger, this is recounted by a Roman historian, drew a circle around Antiochus and said, you will think about it here in this circle. And then Antiochus said, okay, fine, I'll go home. And that was one of the things that prompted him to be so upset and go back up through Israel and then rob the Beit HaMikdash and impose the evil persecution. Okay, we know from that story, therefore, that when someone is, when you put someone on the spot, right, literally, I'm putting you on the spot in the circle and making a demand from you, and I'm going to judge you. So what we have in this story is the same ritual, but here, Choni is as if putting Hashem on the spot. So really, he should draw a circle around Hashem, except you can't do that. So instead, he draws a circle symbolically around himself, and his threat is, right, you know, you're my friend, Hashem, right? You like me, you trust me, I'm like a prince. Well, I'm going to make myself suffer and not leave until you bring rain. So you see, this is a very impudent way to pray. It's like, storming into the president's office and says, I demand you do this for me. You're like, who are you to do such a thing? Okay, but anyway, it worked. All of a sudden, the rain began to trickle down. Amar, lo kach sha'alti, ela gishme barot shechinu me'arot. Choni demands, I didn't ask for a little trickle of rain. I need a lot of rain to fill up the cisterns and the ditches and the caves. Hitchilu lered bezaf. And it came down buckets, so much rain, like in furiously. Amar lo kach sha'alti, ela gishme hason beracha undava. And Choni says, no, and I don't like that either. First too little, then too much. I want nice rain, benevolent, blessing, generosity, just the right amount. And sure enough, yadu ketiknan, right? So Choni was amazed. It was like he was able, like you control a faucet and little water, a lot of water, just right. Choni made such demands of Hashem. Ad sheyatzu Yisrael Yerushalayim l'habayit mipnei geshamim. There was so much rain that the people had to leave from the outskirts of Jerusalem up to Harabayit, because there was so much rain that the streets were flooded and had to go to a higher spot. The Harabayit is the highest spot in Jerusalem. And so then they came to him, okay, it keeps raining, it's too much. Just like you asked for the rain to start, please ask for the rain to stop, we have enough. Amar lahem, so Choni says, go and see if the Eben HaTo'im, the claimant's stone, is if the water has reached that point and if it's washed away. This stone was in Jerusalem, and it was the lost and found, ancient lost and found. You found something, you brought it there, and then people would come and identify it, and then it would be returned to them. So this was a stone that was in a high spot. So we said, go see, has the water reached that high spot? You know, if it's that high, then I'll stop for rain. But if it's not that high, then it'll continue raining. Rain is a blessing until it gets really too threatening. So this story is, in a way, the opposite of what we just said. Because we said here, yeah, so you can pray for rain. We don't pray for rain to stop, even if it's a lot. And yet Choni, when they asked him to pray for rain to stop, well, depending on how you understand, like, where exactly was this thing, was this point that I will not pray for the rain to stop unless it reaches this totally, totally high level. So in other words, like, no, or he's saying, I want it to continue until it gets really dangerous. And so in that case, maybe the story fits with and is an exception to the general rule. That the general rule is that you don't pray for the rain to stop unless it gets really, really high. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shatach idmale choni ata gozerani alecha nidui. Aba ma yaseh lecha sheata mitchate lifnei makom veoseh lecha resoncha keben shehu mitchate al aviv veoseh lo resono. Shimon ben Shatach, who was the head of the generation, he sent a message and said, you are deserving of being excommunicated for what you did. Who does that? Who talks to Ribono Shel Olam with such arrogance and impudence and making demands, and I want this, and no, too much, too little. But what can I do that you are so great? You can go and nag before Hashem, and he does what you want. He likes you, right? Sometimes a parent or a teacher just has a favorite, and even if they're annoying, they just loves them so much. Hashem simply loves you and does what you want. So what can I do? If Hashem loves you, I can't excommunicate you. But if anybody else tried that trick, they would be deserving of excommunication. And about you, it says, let a father and your mother be glad. Let he or her who bore you rejoice, right? Anyone, your parents and everyone who knows you must be very proud of this amazing miracle and accomplishment. Hi, you meet Anin. Now back to the halacha and the Mishnah. Be'adu lehem geshamim kodem ha-netzachama. Lo yashlimu lachar ha-netzachama yashlimu. Let's say they decided we're gonna make a fast for rain, and before the day it started raining before sunrise. Well, in that case, they don't have to continue fasting, right? They could stop even if it's a 24-hour fast, and they fasted at night before sun. It started raining before sunrise. Oh, we don't need to fast anymore. If it only started raining after sunrise, then they already started the day fasting, they have to continue it because they promised it. So it's like a vow. Rabbi Eliezer omer kodem chasod leyashlimu lachar chasod yashlimu. Rabbi Eliezer says, before midday, if they said we're going to fast tomorrow and in the morning it started fasting, then they could stop the fast in the middle of the day as long as it started raining before midday. But if it's after midday, then they already fasted most of it. They should continue and complete the fast. Ma'aseh. Another story. Shegazru ta'anit belod. V'yardu lehem geshemim kodem hasot. That they made a decree that there should be a fast in the city of Lod. And sure enough, it rained before chatzot. Amar lehem Rabbi Tarfon, se'u v'chlu shtu v'asu yom tov. Since it's before midday, Rabbi Tarfon says, go ahead and you can eat. He's following this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. V'yatsu v'achlu v'shatu v'asu yom tov u'ba'u ben harbaim v'karu halel ha'gadol. Not only did they go home and eat and drink, they made a holiday and they came back to Bet Knesset in the afternoon and they said halel ha'gadol and in thanks. So in the turn of a dime, you can go from a day of a fast to a feast and celebration. All right, now the Gemara. Sede taniyota elu hamur b'ribi arishona. We said that we do the series of less severe and more severe fasts only when the first rain doesn't come. So right now we're understanding that to mean the very first time it rains. And then if we miss that, then we start with the minor fasts. But we have a problem because there's a braita that says the first and second rain, that's when we start saying Barech Aleinu, asking Tental Matal Libracha. And only when if the third rain doesn't come, then we start the minor fasts. So we have a contradiction. The Mishnah sounded like Rivi'ah, means even after the first rain we start minor fasts. And here it says after the third rain is missed, we start the minor fast. So which one is it? And the answer is, Amar Rav Yehuda, Hachikamar Sede Taniyot Tamud, Ema, Tai Bizman Sheyasa Rivi'ah Rishona Ushniya Ushlishit Velo Yardu Geshamim. Rav Yehuda says the Mishnah means to say, not the first rain, but the first series of rains. So if you have the first and second and third rain, when it's expected on those dates, right? The two dates in Cheshvan and then the beginning of Kislev, and still doesn't rain, then you start the minor fasts. However, as Mishnah continues to say, if it did rain one of the first rains, and then they sowed the seeds, but they didn't sprout, or if they sprouted and then they changed their color and they looked bad, in that case, that's an emergency because this is going to turn out not good, and they do serious fasts immediately. Amar Rav Nachman, Davka nishtanu aval yaveshu lo. Rav Nachman says we only go to the fasting, the stringent fasts, when they change color. But if they get totally dry, we don't. Now, getting totally dry sounds like it's even worse, but that's the point. If the plants get totally dried out, then it would take a miracle to bring them back to life, right? Once they're dead, they can't come back to life, and we don't pray for miracles. So, you know, we give up. Only if there's a chance, then we pray. Now, Pishita, isn't this obvious? Nishtanu tenan. It says nishtanu. If it meant Yavishu, would have said dried out. Lasricha de'akun. No, it means that they afterwards you saw them produce a stalk. Akanta militahi. Kamashmalan. I might have thought that even though it's dried out, but it produces a stalk, it has hope. No, he teaches us that it has no hope. If it's dried out, then even that stalk is not meaningful, and there's no point in praying for that. Similarly, if it stops raining for 40 days in between, then we call that a plague of drought. What does this phrase mean? My makat basoret. Amar Rav Yehuda amar marav makam evi'ali de basoret. It's a plague that will lead to a drought. I mean, the stopping of rain for 40 days itself is the problem, but that causes there eventually to be drought once there's no water and nothing that grows. Question?
Rabbi, I'm having a difficult time with the statement that we don't pray for miracles. Because we do. I mean, when somebody is very sick, sometimes when somebody is terminally ill, we're always praying.
Right. So look, as long as it's possible, even if it's a small possibility, we pray with all our might. But I've never seen anyone after a person has died, I never saw anyone say, let's get a Tehillim reading and bring the person back to life, right? Nobody would tolerate such a thing. So even if, you know, sometimes things are terminal, but who knows, someone comes up with this experimental drug and it works, and who knows? So we try, as long as the person's alive, there's always some chance, and we try our best. But this is bringing something back to life is then beyond the point of no return. But it's a good question on when do you make that determination. But the general community, you know, we pray right until the end, but not after the end. Okay, Amar of Nachman, Nahara Anahara Besorta Medina Medinta Kafna. So now we're going to distinguish between two things. One is a drought, which is less severe, and a famine, which is more severe. In either case, we're gonna pray, right? It's an immediately pray. But we call it a drought when there is food somewhere up the river. So somewhere else nearby, there's food, not here, didn't rain here, but we can bring food in. That's a drought. But if there's not, and if there's that, we have to go to another country altogether, nowhere in the country is there food, then that's called a famine. Amada bi chanina se'a besela ushchicha besorta arba'a ve'la shechicha kafna. Another definition between the two is if one se'a costs one sela. So in other words, it's very expensive. If the grain is very expensive, but it's found, you can go to the marketplace. You have to pay four times the usual, but you can find it. Then that's the less severe drought. If it's four se'ah for one se'ah, which is the normal price, but no one can find any, no one has any money to even buy it, then that's even worse, and that's called a famine, right? If you remember, like when we had shortages on toilet paper and masks and things, and you couldn't even find it at all, even if you wanted to pay extra for the toilet paper, it was just none around, and so. That's the difference between a drought and a famine. Or another way to think about it is Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu ela bizman shamaot bezol uferot beyoker. When Mishnah says it's a time of drought, that would be a case where there is money available, but the prices are very high. In other words, inflation. Aval maot beyoker uferot bezol. But if the money is hard to find but the fruit is cheap, in other words, a recession or depression, then matin aleha miyad, in that case, that would be called a famine and is even more severe. I mean, in the Mishnah, actually, it said in both cases, even in a drought, you would fast and pray. So in either case, it's a considered emergency, but this is even a greater emergency. Amad amar Rabbi Yochanan neher na kad havu kaime arba'a se'in besela v'avu nefishi nefiche kafan betiberia umidelet isar. Rabbi Yochanan says, I was there when there was, you could buy a four se'ah of produce for one se'ah, meaning it was regular price, and yet there were people whose bellies were swollen from famine, and this happened in Tiberias because there was just no money around, and they couldn't, even though it was a regular price, they couldn't buy it, and they suffered from terrible hunger. Next part of the Mishnah, Yadu l'smachim avalo le'ilan. If there's rain for one type of vegetation, but not for the other thing that we need, then it's still considered an emergency. So now let's describe the different types of rains that are good for each thing. You can have good for vegetation, but not enough. For trees, if the rain falls lightly, and not heavily. So the light rain will be good for the vegetation, but for the trees, you need a heavy rain to go down deeper where the roots are. Or the other way around, if you have heavy rain only, that'll be good for the trees, but not good for the plants. They need a light rain. And the next case of the Mishnah was that there's good rain for the fruit, for the trees and the plants, but not enough to fill up all the cisterns. So that could have a case where you have light rain and heavy rain, but just not enough. right? So it's enough to water the gardens, but not enough to fill up all the cisterns. That you really need a lot. How could you ever have a case, which we have mentioned in the Mishnah, that it fills up the cisterns, but it's not enough for the trees and the plants? How could you have such a case? When it comes down as one giant downpour. A lot of rain, it'll fill up the cisterns, but the plants can't grow like that. They need a little bit of rain over time, not one downpour.
Tanu Rabbanan, matri'in ala ilanot bifros ha-Pesach, al nobarot v'shichin umarot bifros hechag, v'im'en lahen mayim lishtot, matri'in alehen miyad.
Okay, we're talking about different times when it rains. The last section says, anytime you don't have any water, the cisterns ran out of water, that's an emergency, and you sound the alarm, blow shofar, do fasting immediately. However, if there is a little water, then the other two benchmarks come into play, which is that if there's not enough for the trees, then we're going to ask for water at around the time of Pesach. Pedos means something like halfway. It means something maybe near the end of Pesach or beginning of Pesach, whatever it means. So around the Pesach time, that's when the trees really, really need water. If it's long after that, then it's the trees, nothing on the trees will grow. So that's emergency situation. To fill up the cisterns is around the time of Sukkot. Now, really, the cisterns must, we need the cisterns full for the whole summer. But let's say we had some for the summer, and now they're empty. Now they're getting empty. So by time of Sukkot is when we need the rain to really come. See, we don't pray for rain in the middle of the summer because that's bad for the crops that are out there drying. Unless there's no water at all. But by time Sukkot comes, then we would pray for the rain to start up again so that it can refill the cisterns. Now, in all these cases, we said this is an emergency. Start fasting immediately. Immediately doesn't mean on that very day, but rather means the next Monday, Thursday, and Monday. And in all these cases, it's in the district. It's in that place where we need it. Unless it's something that moves around, in which case it would be everywhere. Ve'askera, now, this disease of diphtheria, disease that causes people to choke, bizman sheyesh ba mita, if it's a deadly version, matina leha, bizman she'en ba mita, en matina leha, then we fast over it. But if it's the non-deadly version, then we do not fast over it. It's uncomfortable, but you don't have to go crazy. Matrein al hagobai bechol shehu. And if there's locusts, even a few locusts, that's emergency. Because when a few come, they check out the area, they call their friends, and there's going to be more locusts. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, af al he hagab, not only locusts, even grasshoppers. They're not as bad as locusts, but according to him, they're also dangerous. Tenor banan. Another braita related to this, matzriin ala ilanot bishar shene shavua, ala borot, ala shirin ramarot, afilu bashevi'it. Okay, so when the trees aren't getting enough water, then we make a fast day on six out of the 7 years of Shemitah. But during a Shemitah year, you're not allowed to plant or derive benefit or take from the trees anyway. So therefore, there's no point in making a fast day since the trees are off limits. However, the cisterns we do need on the seventh year also. We draw water from the cisterns, so therefore we would make a fast if the cisterns are not filling up, even on the Shavuot year. That's Tanakama. He says, no, if there's no water for the trees, even in the Shavuot year we will pray, because although the owner can't take everything, it's hefked, it's open to everyone. And the poor people will rely on the fruits of the trees that grow on their own. So if the rain doesn't come, we also need that. That's an emergency, even on the Shavuot year. That's one version of the Braita, another version. Tanya Idach, me'atrin ala ilanot b'shah shene shavua, which agrees the same thing, that all six out of 7 years, we pray for the trees, and for cisterns, even on the Shavuot, that's the same. But Rabban Gamliel is a little different. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, af ala ilanot, also on the trees.
matriin ala sefichin b'shevi'it mipnei sheyesh behen panasa la'aniyim. And here's the added thing, not only the trees, even vegetables. Although vegetables you can't plant at all, but aftergrowth, things that grow on their own during the seventh year, there was some seeds scattered, things that are just regrowing. And those, we also make a fast and cry out about them, even on the Shavuot year, even though they're off limits, because poor people can go and take them, even if the owner cannot. So we're going to pray for that, for the rain to come and make them grow. Good. Last section of a little Agadah. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Perata, Biyom Shecharev Bet HaMikdash Nasu Geshamim Smukim La'olam. When the time of the Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, the rain has been very meager. The Bet HaMikdash brought blessing to the world, and there was a lot of rain. Now we have less rain than we did before. And it's also uneven. Sometimes there's too much rain, sometimes too little rain. Sometimes it rains at the right time, sometimes it rains, but not at the ideal time when we need it. Now we give an analogy to each of these. What does it mean? What is it like when the rain falls out exactly when you need it for the crops? Two, a servant whose boss pays him on Sunday. That's the best. Because then, from Sunday to Shabbat, he has a lot of time, and he can go and buy grain and mill it and bake it and have beautiful loaves all ready all week long, especially for Shabbat. But if when it doesn't rain in time, then you know what that's like? Someone, a servant that gets paid on Friday. So that means on Friday he has to go and rush and buy grain, and he's not going to have time to mill it properly. He's not going to have time to go and get wood and heat up the oven properly, and he's going to have a substandard loaf of bread. And then it's not as good. So same thing with the grain. When it rains perfect early in the season and all along just when it's needed, then the grain grows beautifully. When it only rains towards the end, yeah, it'll grow, but it's not going to be as good quality. When the rains are a lot, right? Beautiful amount of nice rain. What is that like? When it rains a lot, it's like a servant whose master pays him all at once. He pays them everything up front, the whole amount in one shot. And that way, that's a good thing, because then he can go buy in bulk and mill in bulk. Whenever you put grain in the mill, a certain amount is going to get lost. It gets lost in the teeth of the mill. It just disperses. And the same amount disperses no matter how much you're putting into it, right? Whether it's a kav, a small thing, a small amount, or a kod, which is a big amount, the diminishment is the same. So it's better to do a lot at a time. That way, if you're only losing a little bit from a lot that you're putting in. Whereas, shana shegeshamei mu'atim, when you have only a little bit of rain, it's like a master who pays only a little bit at a time. And so then he has to go and buy a little grain at a time and mill it a little bit at a time. And it's not as efficient. Every time he goes and mills it, there's going to be a certain percent is going to be lost. Not a percent. The same amount is going to be lost in the milling process. And because he's doing milling every week, he's going to lose a lot. So it's better to get a lot of rain than a little rain, because it's exponentially better. You don't even lose that little bit. And the last analogy is someone who gets when Hashem sends a lot of rain, that's like a person who is kneading clay. And if he has a lot of water, then since the water, he's not worried that the water is going to run out. And so he can put proper amount of water and he'll have well-needed clay. But if he has a little water, he's going to be stingy on the water, and he's the water will run out,
and the clay is not going to be kneaded well. And so the product that it produces is not going to be as good. And so the rain is one of the key ingredients in the production of the produce. And when you have a lot of rain in the right time, then the produce comes out so much better. And so it's not just the fact that rains or not, it's not a yes or no question, but also when. And so therefore we ask for Gishme Beracha, that the Beracha should come, not only come, but also come at the right time when needed the most. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen ve'amen.